seem to have arrived at Tuesday evening. That means the retreat is almost finished. Oh, how do we get here? So, Laura and I had brief opportunities today just to sort of check in with each other, and I volunteered to kick off this evening's proceedings. One of the things we were reflecting on is really less by design than by circumstances, and then just, I suppose, the way we try to tune into circumstances during today, we realise we actually haven't said very much. We've responded to some of the questions, but we haven't really set a tone other than that in the day. And so we were sort of noticing maybe things feel a little bit, a little bit dissipated, or a little bit getting more scattered. And then we reflected a bit more, but it is that's the end of a retreat. Those of you who've been on retreats before probably recognise that. It's not like we suddenly forget about a world outside of here. And so some of you may already have noticed, going home tomorrow, these sorts of things crop up. And of course just what happened yesterday was a positive COVID test, and then needing to take that on board and readjust and so on. This is life, isn't it? This is how it is. As I was saying earlier, we have a retreat situation. We set up a retreat situation. We do the best we can, and that's what any retreat place does. It does the best it can to offer supportive circumstances. And it can only go so far, and then, of course, life happens. And yet, curiously enough, within those circumstances, we've all been on a journey together, collectively and individually. Each of us, each of you, has been on an individual journey over the last few days. Probably had hopefully there's been one or two ups, and maybe a few, bumping along the bottom there. Sometimes paddling on the seashore, sometimes you're a bit, lost in the ocean, sometimes, it'll be probably a bit of a mixed bag. And in a way, we felt that seemed very apt. And we sort of set out this trajectory of, we start with metta, with kindness, as the foundation of an attitude. It's just an attitude of kindness. opening of connection. And then it's interesting, isn't it, how that, when that attitude or when that approach then meets the world, meets the circumstances of our lives, how maybe it sort of takes on a slightly different shape depending on what it meets. You know, when we meet suffering in ourselves and others, that attitude has more the flavour of compassion. When we meet circumstances which are happier, more joyful, easier, then that empathetic joy, or that sense of, great. And when it's more the, just like the complexity, the enormity, the possibility of, if we go much further this way, I'm going to get overwhelmed by this. It's just, things just seem a lot. And that's more the sort of territory of uncertainty, confusion, doubt. And that's when that more that kind quality, it becomes something which is, I used the word earlier, it's more sober. It's like, we're just being steady here as best we can. It's more like the steadiness of equanimity, or the steadfastness, or the patience, or the endurance. Those sort of qualities. All the more, it's like a more neutral. If we're fortunate, there is understanding. We understand also. This is a lot. There is not much that I can do. This is bigger than me. Of course, I know that's a suitable level of response. We are not like Gavin gave the example yesterday. Even the Buddha could not enlighten the whole world. Yes, it would be. So this is neither saying we should just sort of give up and become resigned and it's all too much for me. And that would be allowing ourselves to get overwhelmed. And then we also need to take care of the other way. And we run ourselves into the ground, trying to do everything for everybody, to make everything okay, so that I don't feel so that I don't feel guilty or sad, or I don't contact the pain, which is just present, even if it's not in quotes my pain, my difficulty. because of course, you know, we are connected. We are already connected. So as I mentioned, in a way, it does seem very suitable that as we come towards the end of our time, and of course I don't know how it is for each of you at the moment, and some of you may be still hanging out there in bliss, radiant contentment, eking out to the last minute of the retreat. And hopefully beyond that, and that may well be the case. A few of you, hopefully you do take some joie de vivre away with you. Rediscovered something. Retreats can be so variable. For some of you, it may have been really hard work. You know, you just managed to hang in here. You know, you had the opportunity yesterday. You had an excuse to go. Now COVID test is like, oh right, okay. Now I'm out of it. But no, you've stuck it out. No, you've something's like, no, I'm going to stay. And this is really valuable. And sometimes in the long run, it's often that type of experience which is more valuable than having a great time on retreat. You know, the great times, they have their place too. I think if it was all just hard work, of course, you know, we give up sooner or later. I mean, why am I banging my head against a wall? You know, because everyone else says, you know, oh, it's great, you bang your head against the wall for a while, and after a while it feels fantastic. You know, I've been doing this for years. Actually, I like to use the image of banging my head against the wall, and then after a while, why am I doing this? You know, there's a door over there. Why don't I just go through the door and get through? We'll see what's on the other side. Why don't I use the door? You may have noticed one of the things which probably touched on, but you know, I think is just such a valuable support in practice, is a sense of humour. You know, if we haven't got a sense of humour, it gets very dry. You know, it can help why comedy is so popular. It's just a different take on everyday realities. It plays with our perceptions. Maybe sometimes points out, it's like, there's some truth in that. Yeah, and of course, when the retreat does end, then of course, for each of you, it'll be each of us, and we'll be leaving here and it can be, quite a jolt. Certainly if it's been your first retreat, you may think, it's not that different from normal, I don't feel that different, but you get into Newton Abbot, or you get on the motorway in your car and it's like, whoa. Yeah, sometimes it's hard for us to, because we haven't got much to compare it with. It's hard for us to notice just how much we've slowed down. Slow down physically, mentally even. Or just how much we've got used to the very particular sort of retreat environment. A quiet, amazing difference it makes that people aren't talking to us. And we're not, maybe you haven't said more than whatever you said in the interview 3 days ago. Maybe that's the only time you spoke in a week. It's amazing how much energy we use up through speech. And even just a day of being quiet. Wow. And then how tiring it is when you start talking. Engaging. So in our world, a few of you maybe, it might be going back to a situation which actually is quite quiet, and that would be very variable. Maybe in the short term it'll be quiet, but I assume at some point there's work or there's other commitments and things you need to do, the pace will start to pick up. I guess even if you were just going home and you were on your own, just this whole normality of things. Check my phone, emails and this and that, and what's been happening in the news this last week. Whatever you normally do. Catching up with friends. Family. But the retreat also hasn't finished yet. This is also something we can consider. So it's very easy to get into this, and then we're not here, are we? And we're already imagining the future. We've already left before we. Before this body goes, our mind is already somewhere else. Which is how we live a lot of the time, when we're already on to the next thing. And if we're not doing that, maybe we're dwelling on something from the past. So it's really helpful to just be clear about, you know, oh, this is memory, or, you know, this is imagination, this is planning, future, so on. You know, which has a place. You know, we can sometimes have the idea that, you know, living in the now means we never plan anything. So we haven't a clue where we're going to go tomorrow or what we're going to do. You sort of wake up in the morning and look around. We go to the cupboard and, you know, because we're hungry, there's nothing to eat. Oh, we've got no money with them. You know, because we haven't just taken care of, basically, you know, there is a reality, but there is convention as well. No, there is a human form as long as we're alive. There's a human form. If we don't feed it, if we don't look after it, there are consequences. So when I was here, it's going to be useful to the extent that it arises for you or happening for you, just to notice that pull. Mm-hmm. If there's a pull coming back. I used to have it quite strongly on retreat. Usually on retreats where I'd struggled. I would allow myself to not be here. When I was back then, it wasn't that helpful. But then, yeah, that's when, you know, equanimity is often the quality, because our sense of the future, you know, what does that evoke for us? You know, we're on a sort of spectrum between anxiety and excitement. You know, is it something we're reticent about, resisting, and rather not need to face? Or is it something we're running towards, looking forwards to? A few weeks ago I was visiting family, and I was in a bus station, just waiting to catch the bus, and I just happened to notice, I think I was just walking to the bus stand. It was quite a big bus station, and there was a woman walking in the opposite direction. It was very wide space, you know, wider than this room. So I was walking on the left-hand side, and she was walking over on the right, and 30 or 40 yards away from me, coming the other way. And she just caught my eye. I saw her. Young, very pretty woman, and she was walking in a way, it was like carefree, and she was looking, and straight away I just thought, she's in love. And I knew it wasn't with me, because she wasn't looking in my direction. She was walking towards something with sort of joy and confidence. And so I was sort of curious. I was like, I wonder. So I sort of looked the other way behind me, And sure enough, there was her partner waiting. And well, he was coming the other way, and they were walking towards one another. And so I just waited a moment until they met, and they hugged and kissed. And it was just like, oh yes. Yeah. So it's like you could just read it. That was what was happening. And I felt, I just thought, oh, I'm really happy for them. So she was, you know, that's how it is sometimes. Mm. You know, another time, you know, we're going somewhere, it's like, I'm not looking forward to this at all. I think so important or useful really to recognize and to recognize the feeling we have. And I think, as we've said quite a few times during the last few days, just to touch into what is the story I'm telling myself. We're already painting a picture of how it's going to be. You know, when I see this person or when I go there, it'll be like this. And of course there is a basis in truth in that, and there is a certain amount of our fear or our imagination in that. And of course, you know, what happens in the future, what happens at any time, actually, is a matter of just like how we meet. And this is a theme we've spoken about quite a few times. You know, it takes two parties to meet. And ultimately, you can reduce it to, it takes this heart, the one that's listening to the words which I'm speaking now, you know, it takes the heart which is hearing that, which meets everything else, meets the rest of ourselves, meets everyone else, meets the night and the day, meets the ground. You know, how does it meet it? How do we meet? And if we've already have some assumptions or beliefs about how that will be, you know, that actually this could be painful, this will be painful, if we're telling ourselves, you know, this will be unpleasant, then we're likely to approach that meeting from a place of contraction. If we're already doing that, then if we're very fortunate and the other person or the more we're meeting is more open, we might find that we're able to lessen our contraction. Probably you'll notice this during the week, you know, when you've been outside, you know, walking in the grounds here. And perhaps at some point you've just really noticed, like your attention or something has struck you. Oh. That flower, or look at the insects on the crawling in the grass, or you just looked at the sky. You know, the sky wasn't arguing with you. It was just so blue, such a beautiful blue. We just felt the sun, and you just all the warmth. It's just like, oh, thank you. And something in us was able to open a little more, because we had the good fortune to meet something which, it wasn't a threat. We didn't perceive it as a threat, and it didn't hurt us. In fact, it blessed us. But of course, you know, the world does have its dangers, and its we can't be sure. We can never be sure. It's a dilemma of being human, isn't it? A dilemma of having been born. We don't know. But if we're approaching contraction, we're more likely to have a contracted meeting, a contracted coming together. And if a lot of our meetings are like that, you know, a lot of our life is like that, then that contraction, you know, that becomes the sense of who we are. That becomes a sense of me. Me being like this, the world being like that, and the relationship between us is one of varying degrees of struggle. And this is a story that we keep on adding to, you know, keeping up the same story. And each chapter of the story might have a slightly different take on it, but it's basically the same thing. Until we start to examine the story, examine what's our part in it, what's our end of it, or what's the end of it that we can perhaps relate to in ways which might start the possibility that we can write more chapters in the book which are not about struggle. We can find some chapters about some freedom. I think we hope, you know, this is what that possibility or that actuality is something that we may have touched into during this week. And I think if it is, I'm very happy about that. And it's like, okay, it was worthwhile. It's very easy for us to have opinions about how good a retreat has been. It's very easy if it's your first retreat. It was both the best and the worst. know that just from the little checking in that Laura and I had earlier, tomorrow there'll be a little bit about now we want to place the retreat in a bit more context. So hopefully there'll be some things which might also be supports. It's not like the retreat just finishes and you're thrown back into your everyday life. Back to wherever. Also there'll be whatever resources you've already discovered, rediscovered, or feel like you've become perhaps a little clearer, or you've done a little polishing on them. And hopefully there'll be some ideas and thoughts on how we can try and maintain things. Because it is hard. It's hard in retreat and it's even harder often out of retreat. Maybe not for some of you. And of course, ultimately it's all about just settling back, isn't it? And that is all the future. We're still sitting on our mats, on our chairs, contact with the ground, body still breathing. I think someone asked a sort of somewhere between a question and a sort of a reflection, which I think one of you had written for us, and we haven't got it here. Still, it's like the only time we're completely still is when we're dead. So these things are relative. We can look at someone and think, oh, being very still. That's just because we just don't notice the very subtle movement that's happening. And of course, we can be very still. The heart can be still, the mind can be still. And there are degrees of stillness, if you like. When we're used to a busy mind, if things quieten down just a bit, that feels like, oh wow, it's really quiet now. And when we get used to that, we think, oh gee, there's still quite a bit going on with it. Just thinking, before I carry on and on and on, I feel I've said enough. Would you like to say something? Oh, that's something. Or should we take a little break and say it to them?
Yeah. I don't feel I have to say something. I don't feel something's occurred to me, but I think maybe tomorrow or maybe later. You know, so I'm really enjoying what you're saying. But I think it might be nice to wind it up.
I think I'm finished. I'm done. That was a very polite way.
And we can take a break.
We can take a break, yeah.
Let's take... Let's take a 10 minutes break. Okay. Yeah.
5 to 10 minutes. I'm back for more.
Okay.